So tell me a little bit why you chose a career with the Jackson County Tourism Development Authority.
Sure. So I was in journalism for about 13 years.
Okay.
So did everything from photography to writing stories and really telling the story of the people in our destination. And a lot of what tourism is storytelling.
Right.
You're trying to convince somebody who may or may not be familiar with the area, the destination, to come here. And to do that, you have to position the area in such a way that it brings them on the journey and encourages and motivates them to visit. So, you know, the journalism really helped me. It was a different field, but there's crossovers, and you really, tourism is an extension of that, tourism marketing. You're telling the story of the destination, its people, its assets, from the mountains to the rivers to the lakes, and you're finding a way to package that into an experience and finding the best way to share that with the potential traveler. So really it's an extension of what I did in journalism. Also, I was in politics for a few years. I was mayor of Webster.
I read that, yeah.
So having the governmental type experience definitely prepared me for this. You know, so really at the end of the day, it's about finding a way, the most effective way to reach the potential traveler. So we do that a lot through blogs, through social media, through imagery, through video, and it's packaging all of that into one sort of content package to share
right.
with people.
Fantastic. Do you still do any writing for the paper or no?
I don't know.
Okay.
So I've been solely with the TDA for about 3.5 years now.
Okay. Fantastic. Kind of in a nutshell, if you were meeting somebody on an elevator and they asked you, you know, what's the mission of the TDA,
mm-hmm.
what would you say that is?
Our goal is to, a lot of TDAs have a sole goal of overnight visits. To give you an idea, TDA is Tourism Development Authority, and their whole goal is to drive overnight visitation.
Okay.
So they're focused on getting people here and then having them stay overnight. My goal is a bit different. Living here and knowing the economy, the people, the overnight visits are great. And I know the hoteliers want those overnight visits, but my goal is to drive the local economy. So while we do still have that goal and metric of overnight visits, day trippers are also important. I know in Jackson County, an overnight visitors on an average trip of about 2.5 to 3 days will spend $1,000.
Okay.
A day tripper will spend about $200.
Okay.
So while the overnight visitor is most valuable to our economy, the day tripper also contributes. They buy food, they buy gas, they shop. But really at the end of the day, it's about jobs. So tourism in Jackson County supports, the most recent statistic is about 1,850 jobs. So about 1 in 10 jobs are tourism related.
Okay.
So it's not just sustaining jobs, but growing that workforce. Because a lot of the people that work in tourism related businesses, they're small businesses. We don't have a ton of chain restaurants. We have eclectic local,
which is nice,
farm-to-table
yeah.
restaurants.
Yeah, absolutely.
So supporting those local jobs and driving the economy, something I like to say that sums it up in a nutshell is making those cash registers cha-ching.
Right.
You know?
Yep. What specific activities do you and have you implemented to really grow tourism in the area?
So really,
you know, what has been some of your items of agenda?
We've implemented dozens of different strategies in the last 3 years. I think the most successful is integrating all of our marketing platforms to work off one another.
Okay.
Before we had social media over here, we had digital advertising here, we had print advertising here, we had evaluative, analytics over here, and they were all sort of siloed. I knew what all the programs were doing, but they weren't necessarily communicating the results of one success or one failure to the other programs. So now all of our components of our marketing platforms are tied together through metrics, through our key performance indicators. And when one program performs really well, that influences what we do on another platform. Something that's been really successful is over the last 6 to 8 months, we've undergone a massive research project, which will influence the work we do for the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
So really understand what motivates the traveler to come here, where they're learning about us. Literally, probably the upwards of 100 some questions that we deployed out and received about 3,800 responses.
Oh, wow.
Far above the statistical norm of about 400 that you need to be statistically accurate.
Right, right.
So really combining all of our program's metrics, successes, into one singular platform that really moves all in the same direction. So when something on social media is performing extremely well, we implement that into our public relations. And from public relations, we bring travel writers here. We increase awareness of the area through those published pieces, like the Our State magazine on Jackson County, the Washington Post feature. Through that increased awareness, we bring more travelers here. We learn more how they found out about us, why they're coming here. And it's really a cyclical loop. But I think in summation, it's really the integrated platform of having all the programs work in unison.
Gotcha.
That's been most successful.
Okay. How do you evaluate success for what you're doing? How does the board evaluate success? And then how do you think the business owners, local business owners, evaluate success of what the TDA is accomplishing?
So the simplest measurement is occupancy tax collections.
Okay.
So when you stay in a hotel and there's a couple dollar charge on your bill and it says room tax, all of that goes to fund our budget.
Okay.
And we receive no property taxes. We're solely funded by when people stay overnight. So our budget has increased about 43% over the last 5 years.
Okay.
So that shows great success. And we've seen year over year increases. 2017 was a record year. 2018 then bested that year.
Oh, wow.
2019, we've bested 2018.
Gotcha.
We're at the height of about 114 months growth cycle in the economy. Eventually that will level out or plateau.
Yeah.
But we continue to see those increases. So that is the most immediate measure of success that a lot of destinations point to. But also, you know, I think success comes in the form of businesses truly being advocates for the work we do and supporting the work we do. And really just understanding how we're here to help grow them.
Gotcha.
A lot of locals and residents view tourism as a problem with congestion of roadways, with litter.
Yeah.
But the truth is, you know, our tourists are typically not the ones littering.
Right.
It's the trucks without the tie downs on the back that blow out into the river. Our tourists are, they're the type that come here to hike and leave no trace.
Indeed. Right, right.
So tourism is actually part of the solution, not the problem.
Yeah.
There's a lot of destinations struggling with what we call over-tourism.
Yeah.
Like Barcelona, Amsterdam, and you know, you start to think of that and think, you know, those are large tier one cities. Jackson County's not struggling with that, but You know, we do have some challenges, you know, in October. We're at 80 to 90% occupancy, which means almost all of our rooms are filled. So one of our strategies there is to, you know, we're still going to promote leaf looking, but, you know, our businesses truly, you know, if they're already at capacity in October, adding 5 or 10% more room nights or stays is just going to overly saturate things to a point where it may make the experience not as great.
Right.
So what we're trying to do, one of our strategies is to shift into sort of, I call it our secret season, which is between December and about March, when business is slower for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's when our shops, our restaurants truly need business.
Yeah.
So promoting that off season will be huge this coming year. And that's what our research showed. So success for me and our organization will be in getting more people here year round. Summer's always a popular time. So July and October are our busiest months.
Yeah. So summer and fall are really the busier times.
They are. And trying to shift some of that demand to the slower times to fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of discussion, you know, especially in Cashers and other areas, that it shuts down in the wintertime, and really shifting the demand and the focus to the slower need periods, and seeing that growth will be success for us.
Yeah, right on.
But we measure success in occupancy tax, in public relations, the number of placements we get in magazines. We do track every placement we receive, and we just hit 1 billion potential impressions over the last, I believe, 5 years, which means, you know, if a magazine has a circulation of 200,000, we calculate an article in there potentially reaching 200,000 people.
Okay.
In the last 5 years, we just recently hit 1 billion potential impressions.
Wow.
So we track so many. We probably track a couple dozen KPIs, but at the end of the day, I ask ourselves, what did we do? How well did we do it? And are people better off? And I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, fantastic. Would you say that there's a surplus or a shortage of places for folks to stay when they come to town?
So it depends on where you look and what type of accommodation you're looking at. In hotels in this end of the county, Silva, Cullowhee, Dillsborough, you know, we've got quite a few in the Silva and Dillsborough area. Cullowhee, that could be a potential opportunity market. Cashers, we have a shortage, a significant shortage. Right now, High Hampton Resort's under renovation for the next year and a half.
Okay.
So we've lost a room supply of about 80 rooms.
Okay.
That, which leaves us basically with Hampton Inn and Suites, which has about 60 rooms, and then the Laurelwood Inn, which has about 20 rooms.
Okay.
And you talk about all the visitors coming there during peak season, that's not enough rooms. But a lot of that is... a lot of that is dictated by water sewer infrastructure, so we can't build additional rooms until the additional capacity is available.
Okay.
So I know the wastewater treatment plan and all that is in progress. It's just when that finishes, I would expect additional capacity to open up.
Okay.
So right now in the Cashers area, for example, if somebody comes and wants to have a wedding with 250 people, we have venues like Lonesome Valley that can accommodate that large group. The problem is we don't have a place to put them. So we have a Hampton Inn hotel that has 60 rooms.
Oh, yeah.
We have another hotel with 20 rooms. High Hampton has 60 to 80 rooms. Well, actually 120. So, you know, you'd have to piece together lodging.
So you have a venue for the event itself. You just don't have a place for everybody to stay.
So we end up losing that wedding, which you think of these higher-end weddings, they'll spend $100,000, $150,000 on the wedding.
Yeah.
We end up losing that to another neighboring county like Highlands in Macon County, which does have that facility.
Okay, gotcha. So one of the businesses that I'm using for a project standpoint in my class is an agricultural experience bed and breakfast. So an agritourism bed and breakfast, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Sure.
The place that I thought that if I was going to do this would be down in Cullowhee, mm-hmm. and try to take advantage of some of the visitors coming to the campus, for sporting events, for, you know, orientations or campus tours, whatever the case may be. If I were to pursue that as a viable business, what would the TDA, what could you guys do to help me get that marketed and provide me with some information to get started?
So as an accommodation, we promote all accommodations equally,
okay.
because we receive occupancy tax from all of them. So we've got challenges in promoting a specific property, for example. So if I promote a hotel in Dillsboro over a hotel in Silva, we're not really being fair in terms of promotion, because there's no way to suggest we go to this hotel versus that
one.
Right. But what we can do is promote unique experiences at our properties. So for example, the Best Western in Dillsboro, you literally walk out to the deck and see the Tuckasegee River. That's a unique experience.
Right.
High Hampton Resort in Cashers has a golf course that will be second to none once it's complete. We can promote that aspect. So if a property has a unique aspect, number one, it goes on our website, on our visitor guide. But if it truly has a draw that's a bit different, that's the perfect item for our public relations efforts, which we can pitch that to national outlets. So some accommodations have really unique aspects, like off the beaten path yurts, tree houses, and those get a lot of traction. So anytime there's that unique spin on something, so if you had a farm to table boutique hotel, and the food was sourced within a 50-mile radius, that would be PR gold right there.
Right, okay, gotcha.
So, you know, we could definitely capitalize on that,
okay.
and put it out there. And we wouldn't lend advertising dollars to that, as we have to promote everything equally.
Sure.
We're more viewing it from a destination level versus an individual accommodation.
Gotcha.
So our work brings people here, generates exposure, then once here, people rarely book a destination based on a hotel. They book it based on where they want to go, and then they decide where to stay.
It's a secondary concern.
Right.
Yeah.
However, if it's a unique enough experience, you look at the Maldives and the underwater igloos where it's just a 360 degree, you're looking up at fish swimming.
Yeah.
Sometimes
that is the destination.
It is.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about agritourism in Jackson County? Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I think there's great opportunity in our farms, and you know, the challenge is it would take quite a bit of work to get the farms from being a production farm to becoming a visitor-centric location.
Yeah.
So Shelton Farms does a job like none other in terms of production of hydroponic lettuce, strawberries. The strawberries are something we can promote, but it's less of an activity. But you look at the blueberry farm out in...
Oh, in Cullowhee.
Cullowhee.
Yeah.
What's his name? Pelham Thomas.
Yeah.
So that's more of an experience where you pick your own blueberries, and it's agriculture related, and you can send tourists there and say you can have this experience.
Yeah.
It's an experience on the lighter side, but I think in terms of agritourism, the farmers markets are huge.
Yeah.
We have one in Forest Hills, one in Silva, and one in Cashers. And visitors love local food.
Yeah.
And I think marrying the local food aspect, the restaurants that carry the local food, that matters to tourists.
Yes.
One of the things we ranked highest on in our research is the unique local dining, because a lot of people come from big cities with chains upon chains. And while some of our residents would say, what unique local dining? Because we're all used to it.
Yeah.
You've got to look through a visitor's eyes. It's the first time they've been to, say, Guadalupe or Lulu's. And,
right.
And they absolutely love it. At Guadalupe, you've got a board that lists everything that comes from
right.
a local place.
Right. And the individual farm. And
so agritourism here is more of a soft product where we don't have any true experiences yet. I know, like Adam Bigelow, a naturalist, he leads hikes and sometimes they do foraging.
Right.
But I don't think that market's fully developed yet here. I think there's great opportunity. I know I just spoke yesterday with NC State and they are working on a whole agritourism effort within the region to develop an app and resources for visitors and residents interested in agricultural agritourism and also just increasing awareness of agricultural
right.
resources.
Awesome. Fantastic.
And I've got a press release on that I'll print out for you.
Awesome. Thank you. So in kind of reviewing some information online and on the TDA website, tell me a little bit about earned media coverage and how it could apply to a new bed and breakfast in the area.
Mm-hmm. So there's earned media, owned media, paid media, and trade. So owned media is when we pay for placement.
Okay.
Earned media is when we pitch something. It's in essence calling a journalist and saying, hey, I've got a great story angle for you. Would you do a feature on it? And that's what our PR firm does a lot of, is pitching.
Okay.
And we do pitching almost daily. So we may say, for example, Baxley's Chocolates just created a chocolate pairing with Innovation Brewing. And so we pitch that out to beer publications and a number of outlets, and they may bite. And then once they bite and publish a blog online, that's earned media.
Gotcha.
So earned media is trusted far more than owned or paid media.
Okay.
So when you see an ad in a magazine and you know it's an ad, your brain recognizes they paid for this. Earned media, on the other hand, is an article written by an author where they may have visited your destination, but at any rate, they're writing about you.
Right.
And that's trusted three times more on average than an ad.
Gotcha.
So earned media is far more valuable for a destination.
Thank you.
Than paid media. So we spend a lot of time on getting that earned media. But in terms of an accommodation, you know, that could be pitching the uniqueness of that experience to different media, them getting that earned media, for example, an article.
Right.
One that's, let me grab a copy of it. So, for example, we pitched Jackson County to Our State Magazine in 2016, and it took 2 years for this to come out.
Wow.
And that's how long sometimes you work on a single feature. But we pitched Summer in Jackson County, and they sent a team here, and they did a 34-page spread on Jackson County.
Wow, very nice.
Which is unheard of.
Yeah.
So, for example...
And that came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, this is the spirit of High Summer, and it's about High Hampton Resort. So that could be your accommodation, it could be another, but we pitch the uniqueness of the food, the setting, the ambiance, the tradition.
Right.
And this is earned media here. And you realize, reading through this article, that it's an authentic experience. It's not an ad like this.
Yeah.
And people recognize the difference between those two, and they trust articles.
Yeah.
They trust ads, but they also don't. They realize they're being marketed to.
Gotcha. That makes perfect sense. Besides efforts that the TDA could put forth, what other marketing strategies would you recommend to somebody that is wanting to open up a new bed and breakfast or an accommodation business in Jackson County?
So the first would be market research to determine whether there's demand for that product. So I work with hoteliers all the time that want to open up, create, purchase an existing or change ownership of a lodging facility. And really you need to study the market and order a report through Smith Travel. That's a nationwide firm that specializes in telling you the occupancy, the demand in a market.
Okay.
And really, until you know that, you don't know whether there's truly an opportunity. Otherwise, you may run a hotel at 30% occupancy.
Right, right.
Which won't pay the bills.
Right.
So the first would be to do research and then determine what the needs are with the accommodation, what gaps and opportunities there are for product development. For example, in Jackson County, currently we have no full-service hotels. In terms of, we don't have a meeting space, we don't have a full bar restaurant in a hotel.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So I think there's opportunity for that. But a lot of those flags, as they call them, the higher end, the Embassy Suites, they're looking for occupancy numbers to be high, 60 to 70%, because for them, the profit margins just aren't there to operate that type of facility.
Okay.
So we're nearing the 60% mark every year. We creep up about 2% over the last several years. So once you hit about 60% occupancy, which is the number of rooms filled on average per year, then it's time to start looking at new supply, new hotels.
Right. And we're just now starting to breach that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, you know, in the summertime, we're at 80, 90%. In January, February, we're at 30%. So we're averaging about 60%.
Okay.
And we're trying to shift and level out that demand so it's more even.
Yeah.
Which also helps with over tourism, so it's not like this.
Yeah, right.
So market research is huge. Feasibility as to what offerings that new facility or accommodation should have. Really a business plan for how you plan to market it, what's different, what's unique, you know, and also understanding the average traveler to the area, what they're looking for, their travel patterns. Are they staying, you know, business travel makes up 22% of our travel, leisure 66%, and SMERF, social, military, educational, about 11%.
Okay.
So understanding which market mix you're going after. We don't have a considerable amount of business travel here, but, you know, we're 20 minutes from the Great Smokies, 20 minutes from the Parkway. So we find a lot of people are looking for that affordable stay. Jackson County is sort of in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
Travelers don't just stay here. They go to the Biltmore House. They go to the Great Smokies. So understanding that if you build a hotel in Silva Dillsborough and the average nightly rate is $300 and it's an upscale hotel versus a mid-scale, you may not fill that up.
Yeah.
So really understanding your product, your customer, your revenue, the competition. There's so many factors to take in play there.
Gotcha. This might be a tough question to answer, but if you were working with someone to open a new business, whether it's a small hotel or a bed and breakfast, in off the cuff, what would you say they would need to budget for the first year for marketing expense?
It depends on the size of the property.
Okay. So if we wanted to focus more on a bed and breakfast that had five or six guest rooms.
The challenge is a lot of accommodations don't do a lot of marketing. They expect the DMO, which is us. DMO, TDA, they're all sort of interchangeable. Okay. DMO stands for Destination Marketing Organization.
Okay.
Sometimes you hear them called CVBs, but they expect us to do a lot of the heavy lifting.
Okay.
So our goal is to generate awareness for the region, to bring people here, then they find a place to stay. So a rising tide of generating awareness benefits all accommodations. But that said, they still need to advertise.
Yeah, that's right.
We can't be everything to everyone.
Right.
And we also can't put up billboards for a single property.
Right.
So, you know, it's really hard to just pinpoint, but I would say, you know, your 60, 80 room hotel, at least 50 to 75,000
okay.
in advertising, because you've got to do print ads, you've got to do, depending on where you're targeting, who you're targeting, billboards year-round. You know, the street signs on the highway that say hotel with a picture of the placard, those cost money.
Yeah.
They're not free. Social media is huge, email marketing, incentives, promo items, all of that falls under the marketing umbrella. And when you get into marketing, things just get so expensive.
Yeah.
And most people don't realize in tourism marketing, it's incredibly expensive. For example, a full page ad in Southern Living's almost $30,000.
Oh, wow.
So we have $1 million to advertise, but that goes pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So when you're a hotel property, you've got to make a lot of smart decisions about what's the most advantageous way to advertise your property.
Yeah.
And the highest return on investment, you're looking for the placement that's going to get you the most customers. One thing we're focusing on as well, and back to the older tourism thing, is we have this conversation, would you rather have 1,000 visitors that spend $10 or 100 visitors that spend $1,000?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if they're not spending much, but they're using all our resources, congesting the roads and overusing our trails, that's not a great thing.
No.
We'd rather have the higher quality visitor that spends more and fewer of them. So it's really finding that balance.
Okay.
For me, sustainability is huge. Having lived here my whole life, I'm heavily an advocate of Leave No Trace. And I care about tourism and growing it, but not at the detriment of the environment.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a double-edged sword.
Right. Very good. Last question. What do you think some of the biggest mistakes people make in their first year when they open a small business?
I think trying to grow, expand, and offer too many things too quickly can be a challenge for new business owners. But I think moreover than that, the pre-planning for opening a business, you know, having lived here my whole life, not necessarily accommodation related or tourism related, I've seen so many businesses come and go on Main Street in Silva, Dillsborough, just throughout the county. And I think a little market research and business planning goes such a long way. And, you know, I've seen people lose their life savings over opening up something that they thought was a sure thing. And, you know, it's really, it's heartbreaking because you've got these business owners that they go in at 8 in the morning, get off at 8 at night, work 12-hour days, and don't draw a paycheck.
Right, right.
So I think market research, planning, a business plan, you know, just doing all the really hard work up front rather
right.
than being overly optimistic and assuming that if you build it, they will come.
Right, right, right. Very good. Well, really, that's all the questions I have, and I think I've taken up plenty of your time, so I really appreciate it.
Sure.